Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
I'm Rob Norman.
I'm Andrew Norton.
And on Personal Best, we help you tackle the stuff you'd be too embarrassed to ask an attractive, successful life coach about.
That's right. We have a slightly different approach to self-improvement.
Which is, we don't know what we're doing.
Definitely somebody following me.
Okay, she's holding a sword.
This is so nuts.
But in the end, it always works. Okay, it sometimes works.
You have no idea how happy this makes me.
Personal Best, Season 3. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Estás escuchando The Fifth Floor.
The Fifth Floor dinliyorsunuz. Bizimle kalın.
Tumya Ektay, The Fifth Floor, Farnak Amidi Sobat.
This is The Fifth Floor, at the heart of global storytelling with BBC journalists from all around the world. I'm your host, Farnak Amidi. It's July 2nd, 2024. In the Leipzig Stadium in Germany, Turkey and Austria are facing each other during a nail-biting football match. The result of this game determines who will go through to the Euros 2024 quarterfinals. Turkish player Merih Demiral scores two goals, securing his team's victory. He celebrates by making a hand gesture. He pinches together his middle and ring fingers with his thumb and lifts the index and little fingers in what looks like an animal's head. This seemingly innocuous hand gesture sparked a huge controversy and a diplomatic row between Berlin and Ankara. Demiral was suspended for two matches. But why? Well, because this hand gesture has become known as the wolf salute, and it's associated with the Grey Wolves, a Turkish far-right movement. So who are they? And why are they getting more and more attention worldwide? Well, to answer these questions, my colleague Selin Girit from BBC Turkish is here with me in the Fifth Floor studio. Selin, it's great to have you always on the program. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Great to be here.
Selin, tell me, you've been researching the history of the Grey Wolves and their peculiar salute. What is the hand gesture? I tried to explain it in the introduction, but tell me more about it.
Yours was actually a very accurate description of what the salute looks like. Apparently, this is actually also known as a silent fox in other parts of the world, but in Turkey, it is the wolf salute, and it has political and social connotations.
So tell me about the political and social connotations that it has.
So this is actually directly associated with the Grey Wolves movement in Turkey, a right-wing and ultra-right-wing movement. The Grey Wolves organization is known also as the Idealist Hearts, and it is the ultra-nationalist youth wing of the Nationalist Movement Party, MHP, in Turkey, which is an ally of President Erdogan's ruling AKP. Well, this Grey Wolves movement has been controversial in Turkey and elsewhere since 1970s, actually. They have been accused of various acts of violence since the 1970s. And our audiences, especially in Europe, would probably remember, if their ages suffice, one of the very high profile cases that they were involved in. A Grey Wolves member was actually involved in the assassination attempt of Jean-Paul II in 1981.
In St. Peter's Square in Rome, Pope John Paul II came close to death. The spiritual leader of the world's 800 million Catholics looked down the barrel of an assassin's gun.
Pope Jean-Paul was injured, was shot and wounded in the attack.
So Céline, tell me about why a wolf? What is the significance of the wolf for Turkey?
Well, the wolf, the animal, is a very prominent symbol in Turkish culture. The Turkic tribes living in Central Asia used this symbol during the 4th and 5th centuries, for instance. Some sources from the 12th and 13th centuries mention that the Turks, upon arriving in Anatolia, which is where Turkey is at the moment, followed a wolf, the animal, according to Armenian, Syria, and other Middle Eastern legends. So for the Turks, the wolf is a guiding figure, and it represents wisdom. During the Ottoman period, for instance, in the late 19th century, the wolf symbol was used in various forms. And in the early years of modern Turkey, it appeared on banknotes, on stamps. But the salute itself, though, is much more recent than that. It's thought to have emerged from Azerbaijan during the early 1990s and was adapted by the nationalist movement party's leader at the time as a symbol of their youth organization.
And Céline, the footballer, Merih Demiral, he said that he used this hand gesture to celebrate his Turkish identity, and it was not really a political gesture.
Whether the wolf salute is political or not is quite debatable. And it has different connotations within Turkey and outside of Turkey, especially in Europe. In Turkey, many political leaders across the political spectrum use and have used the wolf salute, even central left leaders, to appear sympathetic to the nationalist voters. It definitely has a nationalist connotation, so a political connotation in that sense. But the wolf salute has never been accepted as a unifying symbol in Turkey, a unifying symbol of Turkishness, even within Turkey. But President Erdogan conflicts that point of view, actually.
You're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I'm Rob Norman.
I'm Andrew Norton.
And on Personal Best, we help you tackle the stuff you'd be too embarrassed to ask an attractive, successful life coach about.
That's right. We have a slightly different approach to self-improvement.
Which is, we don't know what we're doing.
Definitely somebody following me.
Okay, she's holding a sword.
This is so nuts.
But in the end, it always works. Okay, it sometimes works.
You have no idea how happy this makes me.
Personal Best, Season 3. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Farhanak Hamidi, and on this episode of The Fifth Floor, I'm with my colleague Céline Girit from BBC Turkish. She's been reporting on the Grey Wolves, a Turkish far-right movement that's been banned in several countries around the world. So are the Grey Wolves active outside of Turkey as well?
They are, especially in countries where there is a large Turkish diaspora, like in Germany, for instance. In Germany, Turks make up the largest single ethnic minority with around a total of 3 million Turkish citizens and German citizens of Turkish descent. So, for instance, in Germany, Grey Wolves movement is strong. In Austria, in France, they are strong. And also in some Central Asian countries with Turkic roots, and in Azerbaijan as well, they were prominent in the past.
What kind of activities are they involved in?
You don't necessarily need to be a member of the Grey Wolves movement. You can be a sympathizer, for instance. You don't have a membership card or anything as such. When we say, for instance, the Grey Wolves movement in Germany, what we are actually talking about is a wider ecosystem of clubs, coffee houses, tea houses, where people with nationalistic tendencies come together and chat and have a sense of community, solidarity. So people who associate themselves with this Grey Wolves movement in Germany, for instance, have varying degrees of attachment. They could be a member, but they could only feel affiliated. They could be only a sympathizer, or they could just be fluid in their affiliations with the movement.
And what about the authorities outside of Turkey, like German authorities, for example? How are they reacting to the surge in popularity of a group like Grey Wolves?
Well, in Germany, they are increasingly becoming more controversial, but the movement itself is not an illegal group. But Austria, for instance, banned the using of the Wolf gesture in 2019, and France banned all activities of the Grey Wolves in 2020. And actually in 2021, the European Parliament advised on the inclusion of the Grey Wolves in the EU terrorist list. Wow. But the dispute actually goes beyond the borders of the European Union. In Azerbaijan, a country with close historic and linguistic links to Turkey, the Grey Wolves also became controversial, and they are actually now banned. And in Kazakhstan, for instance, they are also banned. So they are increasingly becoming controversial, not only in Europe, but other parts of the world as well, where there is a strong Turkish community.
And now back to the football player, Merih Demiral. When he was suspended, Turkey's president, Erdogan, got involved and Germany summoned their Turkish ambassador. So why did it become such a big diplomatic deal?
Well, President Erdogan actually came to the defense of Demiral, as you said, and he said, does anybody ask why the German national jersey has an eagle or the French jersey has a rooster? And he said Merih Demiral actually only just showed his excitement with that gesture. But with all the violent acts that the Grey Wolves movement have been involved in the past and today, with their alleged links to the Turkish deep state, a murky network of political and bureaucratic connections within Turkey, they are increasingly being frowned upon. And in Germany, for instance, the Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution classifies the Grey Wolves as a right-wing extremist group with nearly 20,000 members in the country. And bear in mind, Germany is having troubles with their own ultra-right-wing supporters. So there is that urge to control the ultra-nationalist right-wing movements, not only within their community, but within the immigrant communities as well. That is what is happening in Germany. And after the attacks on the Kurdish protests, for instance, in France or in Austria, Grey Wolves movement have made headlines and the authorities felt the urge to do something about it.
We talked about the politicians and the diplomatic row, but what about people in Turkey? How do they feel about it? What was their reaction to this whole situation?
Well, in Turkey, the Grey Wolves movement is very prominent. And people who use the Wolf salute don't necessarily feel that they are supporters of a political party as such. But they are very aware of the political connotations, that it is a nationalist symbol and it is used in nationalist and right-wing connotations. However, the salute is not accepted as a national symbol. And many Turks, although they're open, very open about their nationalistic sentiments and identity and very proud of Turkishness, they don't necessarily use the symbol or they don't affiliate themselves with the Grey Wolves. Grey Wolves movement is controversial inside Turkey as well. No left-wing person would make a wolf salute, for instance. But the connotations within Turkey and outside of Turkey are very different. Grey Wolves is not necessarily seen as an illegitimate organization within Turkey, despite the acts of violence they have been involved in the past and present.
Thank you very much, Selin Grit from BBC Turkish. I'm Farhanak Hamidi. The Fifth Floor team this week was
Alice Joya
and
Caroline Ferguson.
The sound engineer was
Sue Mayo.
Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I'm Rob Norman.
I'm Andrew Norton.
And on Personal Best, we help you tackle the stuff you'd be too embarrassed to ask an attractive, successful life coach about.
That's right. We have a slightly different approach to self-improvement.
Which is, we don't know what we're doing.
Definitely somebody following me.
Okay, she's holding a sword.
This is so nuts.
But in the end, it always works. Okay, it sometimes works.
You have no idea how happy this makes me.
Personal Best, Season 3. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.